This Friday, Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics will help us review the week's news. I should point out that according to my incredibly quick research, that Tilley is a name that developed after the Norman Conquest, first used in Southwest England, so not Irish. But you know what, Michael? We welcome you to the show anyway. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, I've been drinking all that green beer this morning for nothing, man, apparently. Jeez.
In full disclosure, Kellams is also sort of there, but many Kellams moved to Ireland. So that's how I can claim some Irish heritage.
Well, there was a John Tilley who was the 16th signer of the Mayflower Compact, and then we kind of lose the family line from there. The next group we know starts in North Carolina somewhere, and not especially proud of the North Carolina connection, but, you know, it is what it is.
All right. Speaking about what it is, what it might be, the Donald Trump administration budget, we're getting leaks and sneak previews, and boy, are there some things that are going to be cut, right?
Yeah, some interesting things. I mean, close to home things. Let me touch just on a couple. There's a program called Essential Air Service through the Department of Transportation. That's fun for the past 40-something years. That's allowed some of these smaller communities who are large, but they're not large enough for like a regional airport, but they still have enough, they're large enough to have demand for people to need to have airline connection to these hubs. Well, in Arkansas, Jonesboro, Harrison, Hot Springs, El Dorado, Camden, they are called EAS, Essential Air Service Cities, and the airlines that fly in and out of there get a subsidy, about $200 per passenger. Well, that's going away. It's proposed to go away, I should say. We'll see where the budget goes. But, you know, that's huge. We don't yet have the story posted, Kyle. We'll have it posted a little later today. But, you know, these services will go away. I mean, the only reason they're profitable for these companies is with this subsidy. So we're going to have five Arkansas cities that lose connection. That's in terms of economic development. I mean, if I'm the governor of Arkansas, that is not good for economic development. The other aspect is, and this is the one that puzzles me somewhat, Kyle, because Governor President Trump has talked quite a bit about restoring manufacturing, reshoring, bringing manufacturing back, yet his budget wipes out this manufacturing extension partnership, which has been ongoing for several decades. And it, again, it's one of those programs. And look, I'm not the biggest fan of government programs. I get it that some of them need to go away, but here's yet, you know, the Essential Air Service is a critical real world service. And so is this manufacturing extension partnership. It helps manufacturers get startup. It helps existing manufacturers convert to new technologies. It provides information, consulting services. And then if there's ever a time where the U.S. and the Arkansas manufacturing sector needed support, it's now, but that's being yanked out. So, and the state of Arkansas receives around $1 million a year to support this program. Now that may not mean much, but for these small manufacturers, these 5 and 10 employees, 20, 25 employees who get access to a consultant who can come in for 30 days or whatever and look at their operations and find efficiencies, they couldn't afford that otherwise. So that's going away also.
Well, you know, you have this situation where we have heard some lawmakers, especially members of the Republican Party, say, hey, look, what's about to happen is what we were told by voters wanted to happen. They wanted deep cuts. They wanted to attack the deficit. It'll be interesting now to see if some voters knew what they wanted or if they're okay with what cuts might come.
Well, I think, look, I'm one of those folks also that say we've got to attack the deficit. We've got to fix entitlement spending. But I would be willing to bet that when a lot of folks said we need to fix spending, they weren't talking about cutting essential services like this. They weren't talking about cutting Meals on Wheels programs. And we're already seeing the information come out, and you knew it was going to happen, where, you know, they're already comparing how much money's been spent to keep Trump Tower secure. You know, would already pay for anywhere from 600 to 700,000 meals through the Meals on Wheels program. So we're going to see a lot of that. So I think the tightrope, and I am sympathetic with these Republican legislators are empathetic, maybe I should say. But I think the tightrope that they have to walk is, you know, are we cutting essential services? Are we cutting services that appeal to that hardcore, you know, the Steve Bannon base of the party? Or are we being smart about it? You know, it's hard to swallow some of these when you're boosting the defense budget, you know, by $56 billion at the same time and removing the sequestration shackles and letting that grow. So this is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I've already heard from some Democratic consultants who say this kind of thing could help them in the 2018 midterms and congressional elections.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
The Arkansas legislature is still in session. We don't have nearly enough time to talk about everything that happened this week, but let's get some quick updates on school choice. That failed, that had a problem yesterday. Guns on college campuses has been expanded to not just campuses, and medical marijuana still is in limbo.
Yep. Well, and definitely the Education Choice Act, which is kind of a convoluted program that essentially creates kind of a like a savings account, almost like a health savings account, but for education. That really flamed out. The vote was worse than I thought it'd be. It was 37-4 and 47 against in the House. And this is called the Walmart bill, although as we discussed before we went on the air, it's a little unfair to Walmart.
But it is
an example of what the Walton family has been trying to do with education. But obviously you had a lot of institutional interest came out against it. The guns on campus, as you noted, it is expanding. You know, anyone with an extra 8 hours of training, you know, someone can carry a concealed weapon on campus, not just for faculty, not just for staff. And it even includes other public buildings, which includes the Capitol grounds, which is interesting. I would think the state troopers assigned to keep that place safe and the Capitol Police are not happy about this. But the governor said he's going to sign it. This has been an interesting bill. I did not think that people would, I was going to say pull the trigger, but I don't mean this. I didn't think this would get to this level. I just figured that maybe cooler heads would prevail and we wouldn't, that we, it would be a much more narrow bill, I guess is what I'm trying to say, that only certain people could carry weapons on campuses and that it wouldn't be expanded to other public buildings. And then, of course, medical marijuana, they're again trying to water it down. Robin Lundstrom, Representative Lundstrom of Elm Springs, pushed a bill through a committee that would ban the sale of edible marijuana products. Now, it would allow caregivers to prepare those products, which raises a lot of questions. But so they're still trying to water this bill down. Now, the issue is, Kyle, is that any of these changes like this to the medical marijuana bill, I have to get a 2/3 vote in the House because it is attached to an amendment approved by voters. So we'll see if it gets that 2/3. I've talked to some folks, Roby Brock and I've talked, we're not sure that they're going to get that 2/3 vote because you have a lot of people, unfortunately, in the legislature still don't think we should have a medical marijuana, but they do understand, and they are getting feedback from their constituents that, look, we voted on this. Don't be tinkering with it.
Well, yeah, and as you mentioned, it's 2/3 in both chambers that it would have to any tweaking. So
that's a pretty stiff hurdle.
It is.
It's even stiffer in the Senate. So I would be very surprised if this got through. Of course, like I just said, I was very surprised the gun bill was approved in the form that it was approved.
Finally, quickly. We don't have, as at the time you and I are talking, we don't have official word from Walmart that they have purchased ModCloth, but there are entities reporting it has happened. You said the last time you and I talked, watch for Walmart to pick up another one of these online retailers.
Walmart has said and made it very clear that they're going to be doing this throughout the year. ModCloth is, it's definitely that, I mean, if you were looking for a millennial style online company, this is it. I mean, it's they essentially started from a couple who wanted to sell clothes online that you find in thrift stores. And so that's kind of that vintage hip thing is what you get. The issue with ModCloth is it has depended on venture capital, has not made money. But Walmart's not really buying the the revenue side. They're buying the talent, they're buying the market, they're buying that hip culture. And this, again, this is just like Moose Jaw, Shoe Buy, and Jet. It's just a different demographic they're buying into, plus the talent that goes with it.
All right. Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. You can read about these stories, even the ones he's talking about that haven't been posted yet, at talkbusiness.net. He is not really connected to the North Carolina Tilleys. Michael, have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks.